Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Business Story of the Week. I am your co-host, Joshua, and here we are again today where we uncover stories of, you know, business, entrepreneurship, perseverance, struggles, and innovations. And today we are thrilled to welcome Mike Yulin. Michael Yulin is the dynamic CTO and co-founder of Paxson AI, a trailblazing company in the generative AI legal tech space. I am super interested in this. This is the first on the show that we are going to have an AI legal tech space. It's a space I've always been into. Mike's journey in AI and technology is nothing short of remarkable. He is an Emory University alum. He honed his skills at the Federal Reserve and McKinsey & Company before diving headfirst into AI startup tech. His tenure as the head of Zesty AI, where he developed cutting-edge computer vision, set the stage for his current venture, which is at Paxson AI. Mike is now at the forefront of revolutionizing legal research, making it more accessible and efficient than ever before. His work is not just about innovation, it's about shaping the future of legal tech. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike is about passionate, you know, about passionately harnessing the practice of law, ensuring that technology serves as a collaborative partner in the legal industry's evolution. Mike, how are you doing? Thank you for joining us today.
Doing well. Thanks, Josh. That was a really nice introduction. I'll try to live up to it.
Well, I always say, like, I hope those introductions did you justice. But Mike, this is, like I said, this is something that I've been interested in. I mean, I'm very enthusiastic about AI, you know, in general. But I have not met anyone in the tech legal space. And we're going to get AI tech legal space, to be clear. But before we really get into that, I always like to start these things off with the story. You know, where did it all begin for Mike Yulin? You know, how did you come from, you know, maybe your early childhood memories, maybe something happened throughout your journey and that led you to today into legal, you know, AI legal. What happened between? What is the story of Mike Yulin?
Yeah. So I grew up in Maine, and actually was kind of an entrepreneur from an early age, you know, back in the early days of the internet and eBay, me and a friend of mine, we'd actually, figure out how to put together computers and assemble the parts for like desktop gaming PCs and sell them on eBay. So we'd buy the parts from eBay and sell them for more than the parts cost. So that was a early introduction to entrepreneurship and tech. But for a while, I actually thought I wanted to be an attorney or a lawyer. So early in my career, I worked in a number of regulatory affairs positions. So at the Federal Reserve, at Cox Communications, at a company called Iberdrola, which is a big Spanish utility company. Did that work for a bit and decided that I was much more interested in tech, but had all those great kind of formative experiences like analyzing legislation and regulation, it's kind of funny in life how these experiences kind of come back to you later on. I went into technology not thinking I would do anything in legal or regulatory again, but
exactly.
ended up at a company called RPX, which was a company in the Bay Area that helped the general counsel's offices of large tech firms with intellectual property issues. So I worked in data science for RPX, working a lot with patent data. And after that, then that's when I co-founded Zesty AI and became the head of AI there. And it's just kind of funny how those regulatory and legislative issues come up again, because we had to work at Zesty with the state departments of insurance to get our models, our AI models approved for use in the insurance industry. So again, that kind of regulatory experience comes up, and it's always very kind of like text heavy, manual work, like sifting through large amounts of documents, reading and understanding things and trying to figure out how they apply. And so my co-founder and I at Paxton, my co-founder Tongi Chow, who is our CEO, we actually worked together at McKinsey and Company back when we were first starting our careers, and stayed in touch, and we're just trying to figure out how we could potentially apply generative AI to different fields, and what would really drive a lot of value. And given that, you know, regulatory and legal kind of touches so many aspects of the economy of life, and how well suited generative AI is for this type of work, given how text heavy it is, we thought this would be a pretty ideal place to start a company and apply the tech and help attorneys in their work be more efficient and make their jobs just a little bit easier. So late last year, we started Paxton AI. We closed our seed funding round of about $6 million and have been off building.
Well, So the next question I wanted to ask was a little about Zesty AI, but you already kind of answered that, where you kind of transitioned from, you know, developing cutting edge computer vision for insurance companies, and the legal stuff kept coming up. It's so funny. It's because it's like, wow, I have to deal with this again. But then that led you now to AI legal tech space, which is, of course, now Paxton AI, which is revolutionizing the legal research, you know, making more efficient, more accessible through AI. Can you delve with us into some of the key innovations and, you know, the advancements that you've seen precisely, you know, with Paxton AI, but also in general legal tech industry? Because again, this is like such a very, very, it's such a massive development for the industry, right? How do you think it's reshaping the landscape for legal professionals?
Yeah, I think generative AI is the next platform shift. You know, we've been through platform shifts with technology before. You know, we've had the shift to computing, the shift to the internet, shift to mobile, to cloud. You get one of these things about every 10 years or so. And I think we're really at the beginnings of something like the next, you know, the next internet. And I think back to these other transitions and you know, I think law firms and legal are a good case study in this. Mm-hmm. You know, this industry has been around for a very long time and has had to adapt with the times. And so, you know, I've come across like articles from like the 1960s, 1970s about how law firms were afraid that all the legal jobs were going to be gone because of, you know, computers, and we wouldn't need, you know, rooms full of typists anymore, which is, you know, kind of hard to imagine today, but that's how law firms used to work. So we had this transition from, you know, armies of secretaries, armies of typists in law firms, to now we have computers, and going from what folks used to have to do for legal research, which was like go to the library, pick up a book, figure out what was going on, to now all the information is accessible on the internet.
Precisely.
Which just presents a new problem, right? You know, now you have all the information, and there's a lot of it. And now how do you make sense of it and use it to draft and write documents, which is, I think, where generative AI adds a lot of value and where we're going to see this next transition.
And it really is a transformative shift. Like, I love that what you said, a platform shift that we're seeing right now. And early on, I think it was very apparent for a lot of experts and professionals that this was going to be applied in the legal space. Not if it's going to be when and how fast it was going to happen, right? And it's this is a transformative aspect of AI, you know, delving deep into the legal, you know, legal industry was an inevitable thing. But now, like you said, it also presents a problem, not just with the information at hand and how you make sense of this information, but now I think there is an aspect of the ethical side of it, right? And this is something I'm very curious about, Michael, because when it comes to, say, generative AI influencing the legal space, it's so many implications, right? Is the AI going to be judging me, basically? Is going to be decide, going to, you know, prosecute me, going to decide what my life is going to be? Of course, those implications and those fears are very real, but educate us about a little bit about that. Educate the audiences and listeners that are these implications real? Are they true? Are, you know, is AI going to be the next, you know, judge, jury, and executioner?
Yeah. You know, I think like any other tool, you know, folks can use it for good, and you know, folks can misuse it as well. And I think we've seen this before with other, say, automated decision-making systems. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we have systems for automatically approving people for credit or for loans. And those can be pretty, like, rigid systems. And that's why there's a lot of regulation to protect people in those cases. Like, there's a lot of regulation around making sure you're using the appropriate information when making an underwriting or pricing decision for a loan. Right. So I think, you know, if people decide to use AI as like a judge or making automated decisions, I think we really need to be careful about that and understand kind of these systems are not going to be perfect, and there's going to be some costs to using them.
Right.
Versus what we're doing here at Paxton, you know, yep. Paxton doesn't make any decisions by itself, right? It's a research and drafting tool for attorneys. So it's meant for use by lawyers. It's meant for use in conjunction with someone trained in the law. It's really meant to make these folks more effective in their daily lives. There isn't any sort of automated decision making going on there. I think that sort of use of AI is a lot less concerning than say, you know, having an AI make decisions about pretty weighty matters without human intervention at all. I think some folks will try to do that, but I think in those cases, you know, we have to look pretty seriously at regulation.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for putting in the optimism in there. Of course, you know, this was in tangent, and I needed to ask that question for our audience and listeners as well. And thank you for giving us your insight. Of course, this is something that Paxton AI focuses on, which is like research and, you know, like a tool for our professionals, make their jobs easier, make their lives easier. Are there any case studies that stands out to you, or like people you've helped, people who've used this, maybe some of your clients? What were the differences that you've seen, or stories that stands out to you that made a difference in their, you know, legal aspect, legal lives?
It's some of the stories from our users are pretty heartening. A
Great
lot of
stories.
attorneys, they work pretty long hours. We hear stories about, 10, 12-hour days people are putting in because they want to do right by their clients. And a lot of, a big reason for a lot of this work is like ineffective tooling. They have these old tools, a lot of manual things to do, and at the end of the day that just translates into a lot of wasted hours, a lot of time spent using ineffective software. And so, we have this case study on our website with an attorney, Nate Woodford. He utilizes Paxton in his work on export controls in the US. And he had to figure out, like, is this product subject to an export control? And the government might use a certain language to describe a product, and a company might use certain language to describe the same product. And matching them up was like just a matter of like trying to figure out the right keywords, and it used to take hours to do this. But with generative AI and natural language search, you can type what the thing is and have it match on the semantic meaning of the regulation of the law and get an answer instantly. So something that used to take hours and hours can be done in minutes.
That's fantastic. It's really shortening the time for all these lawyers and professionals. Just what would have taken them days, now they can put those days in and that time into helping their clients even more. And I bet it's life-changing to them. They must have been ecstatic finding out that the generative AI has come to help and change the lives of everyone. How do you envision AI being leveraged as a collaborative partner? I'm talking about coming into the future right now, when in the coming years of AI evolving in the legal profession, how do you see, again, as being as a collaborative partner instead of, making tools, taking over our jobs, making the tool work for you instead? How do you see this going into the future and evolving, of revolutionizing the legal profession? And where does Paxton AI stand in this space and in that future?
Yeah, I think in the future we'll have these assistants or AIs in a number of fields and professions. So, Paxton in legal, you'll probably have something in accounting for financial services for doctors. And I think we'll see sorts of relationships that you might find in sci-fi today. Maybe like Jarvis from Iron Man, or I'm not sure if you've seen the movie Her, where they have an assistant in
Oh, yes.
your
Scarlett Johansson in your ear.
yeah, exactly. But imagine if you had an assistant like that who's perfectly knowledgeable, can analyze all of the data, all of the knowledge about a certain topic, and help you write up or execute on tasks that you might have to in your daily life. And I think that's what we're striving to be in the legal profession with Paxton. And I think we'll see this kind of collaborative sort of relationship where people do what they're good at, more directing strategic work, interacting with other people. And a lot of the tedious work gets, the analyzing lots and lots of data to find the needle in the haystack sort of thing, that gets farmed out to AI. So you get more time back in your day to focus on kind of higher level stuff, and you can focus on what really truly matters.
Can I just highlight on that last part? You focus on what truly matters. And if it's that the purpose of AI in our lives is to give us these more time, you know, to make efficient of our time, to give us more of that room to do what is real effective work, and to kind of give back to our lives as well. Again, I imagine this helping so much of your professionals and your clients and your users just free up their time for their client, not just for their client, but for themselves as well. And again, if it is, if that isn't such a way to let AI do the work for us, I don't know what else. And the legal tech space is something that, you know, it's something that is really, really going to, you know, be changed, so to speak. I feel like AI is flipping that into its, you know, hopefully for the good, you know. You know, hopefully we're going to see some optimism, some positive into this when the AI really starts, you know, doing its changes in the legal space. Michael, this is something I always ask towards the end, and this is something more for you. What are your future aspirations? I already asked how you're looking at, you know, AI evolving in the legal profession. How do you see yourself in the future with all this tech coming up and with all your expertise? Do you see yourself staying in the legal space? Maybe you mentioned a bit about, you know, medical transcriptions. Do you guys see AI, Paxton AI, expanding into a much larger role into the generative AI space?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, legal is just the beginning. I mean, we want to do mm-hmm. we want to do well in this field, and I think legal is definitely a big enough space on its own. But mm-hmm. you know, we notice this issue, this problem in lots of other knowledge fields. Mm-hmm. You know, accounting and tax have lots and lots of data that can be quite complicated and tedious to understand and analyze. Financial services, consulting. Mm-hmm. I think all of these fields will have a generative AI assistant, and I think the methodologies and technologies that we're developing here at Paxton today could be ported over pretty easily to these yeah. other verticals, other fields, mm-hmm. and provide the same value that we're providing attorneys to, say, accountants or investment professionals or yes. consultants in the future. So, you know, this is just kind of the beginning. This is the starting point, mm-hmm. but I think generative AI is really going to change the world.
Fantastic. And you are at the forefront of it, Michael. You must feel really excited.
Oh, it's a fun place to be. I love, you know, I love cutting edge tech and figuring out how we can apply it to different problems. I'm pretty blessed to be able to do this for a living.
And, you know, the world and the audience is definitely thankful that, you know, you are part of that kind of space that, you know, hopefully, you know, more leaders, more people like you are in that space doing good, making sure that these tools are used for the betterment of our lives and the professionals out there making work more efficient, you know. Michael, I would like to give you this opportunity. Where can we find Michael Yulin? Where can we connect with you? Where are you most active at? And, you know, how else can we find more about Paxton AI?
Yeah, well, great being here. And, you know, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so you can find me there, Michael Yulin or Paxton AI on LinkedIn. Also on Twitter, or now known as X, at Michael Yulin. And you can check us out at Paxton.ai, Paxton.ai. If you're an attorney, would love you to check out the platform and give us feedback on what you think of it, what we're doing well, what could be improved, and happy to hear from your listeners if they want to reach out.
That's fantastic. For our audiences and listeners out there, check out Paxton AI. Once again, we have Michael Yulin leading the forefront of the generative AI in the legal tech space. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great show, a great episode. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having me, Josh. It's been great.
Fantastic. See you guys on the next one.
All right. So here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.